Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today with me, I have Kathleen Ann. Now, Kathleen is known as the money and marketing champion for heart-centered women entrepreneurs and enlightened men. I'm going to have to comment on that because that's what I usually say, Kathleen, is I work with women or smart men. So we're very much on the same page there. She is the founder of Power Up Your Marketing and holds multiple money and marketing coaching certificates. Kathleen works with service-based women business owners to help them create and grow financially successful businesses based around their passion and unique brilliance. Her marketing expertise and insights have helped women from around the world to stand out and position themselves as an expert in their field, as well as move away from charging by the hour and package and price their services instead so they can charge what they're worth and get it. I'm really going to be interested in talking about that particular angle today. She is the winner of an inaugural award for commitment to excellence in business coaching from the International Association for Women in Coaching, at the recipient of the Gold Business of the Year Award for BX Networking, as well as a winner for the Local Business Awards St. George's 2019. Kathleen is a certified coach, speaker, published author, and workshop leader, and her work continues to support entrepreneurial women throughout the world to marry money with meaning. And I had to read that comment twice, but I get what it means. We're not marrying into money. We are marrying our money with and working with our meaning. Kathleen happily works from a home office overlooking the beautiful Georges River in Sydney, New South Wales, and that she shares with a chef husband, offering in-person and virtual programs and services for women wanting to create six and even seven-figure businesses and still have time for life. When she's not creating breakthroughs for her client, she's probably, you'll probably find her with her nine grandchildren. Wow. I'm pretty good. I was thinking I was fairly good with five, but nine is an awful lot of work. And just as likely playing a round of golf on the course somewhere. We have a lot in common, Kathleen. Welcome and thank you for being on this episode of the We Are Women podcast.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Janine. I'm very, very honoured to be here. I love to be able to speak particularly for women, and I know that you focus on that as well.
You are very experienced in your field, and I know that you started not necessarily with entrepreneurial women. So I just want you to share your story, how you got into doing what you do now. And I know we've seen some of the award stuff, but I'm sure there's a lot more experience there, Kathleen.
Well, when you get the grey stripes that I've earned, I've been around for a while, so it does come with experience, but it also comes with staying in the game. And that's what I say to people. Don't give up. Just keep your eye on the goal and keep moving towards it, because things just unfold, but they only unfold if you stay the course.
That's an important factor, isn't it? You know, everyone reads about overnight successes and have that expectation that when they start off in business that that's going to happen to them. And we know, we've been, around for a while, we know that that's not the way most businesses work. You know, I'm seeing, my clients, and you've probably been much the same, it takes that 2 to 3 year process, doesn't it, when you get something really solid to build on, and that launches then the business very quickly.
Yeah, and until you find that. And I always talk about the 7 year overnight success because there's, particularly for people like me and perhaps yourself, I came out of corporate and I had a great career in direct response marketing, and I was in middle management, headhunted a couple of times to start up similar divisions in other companies. And that was my whole 20 year long career up until that point. And it was then, this is where I'll tell you a little bit about my background, I got what I call the Don't Come Monday invitation. Oh. Have you had one of them?
No, I actually said I am retiring before that hit.
Well, I thought, oh, I'm not going to jump. I'm going to wait this out, because what had happened, we'd had several new managing directors and new direction and all the rest. And I was going to say, back in that time, and I'm talking almost 30 years ago now, corporations were pushing, particularly women, I noticed, and women, I was in my early 40s, and that made it very difficult to look career-wise. If they didn't want me, who would? Mm. So that was anticipated, though, and I was really happy about it. I had said to my PA, I think I'm next. Don't worry about me. I'm worrying about you. Where are we going to make sure that you land well? Because I'll be fine. I don't know what I'm going to do when it happens, but I think writing's on the wall, and I'd inherited maybe three, if not four, other roles on top of mine as they were ushering other people out. Mm. So I knew that I was too stretched, and that they really needed then to realign and work out what the hell. So, yeah, when I got that invitation, I was going overseas the following week, as it happened, which was actually ending up great timing. I had 5 weeks away just playing around, and came back and figured I had to play around some more. I actually took up golf. That's when I started playing golf, because I had no clue what I was going to do. And the longer I waited, the more I knew that I wasn't employee material anymore.
That's a really good point, isn't it? That employee material. And I think anyone that's listening that has worked for themselves or continues to work for themselves, it's a very different mind space. I love Mondays. I just absolutely, it's usually my day to work in the office, and, you know, the commute is 5 meters up the hallway. It's just
mine's 5 steps or maybe 10 steps down from the upper level.
You know, I'm just thinking about the golf thing too, and I know we're going to come back to other things. Golf, I think, is a great metaphor. I'm a golf player as well, and I think it's a really good metaphor for business, because a lot of things that we do in life, we get better at it, and it gets easier. But with golf, that's not what happens. We have an expectation that we're going to, if we've had a good day, that the next day is just going to be a replica of that, when we go, well, why can't I do the same on the next day? And that's what happens in business as well, isn't it, Kathleen? Building up that resilience to know that not every day is a $100,000 day. There's days out there where it is tough to do what you do day in and day out. And I love that you said staying the game. You know, that's an important factor, that it's just turning up. That's what we have to do, is turn up, isn't it?
And, you know, the reason why we are successful is the fact we do turn up. That's what happens. People don't turn up. They give up, and you look around and they're not there anymore. So that is truly the most important thing. If people realise, don't give up, figure out what next. And it's interesting that we're both golfers, because I think you may have told me that about you, but I don't remember that
I don't get to play as much as you do. I've had injuries for the last year, and I've decided that I'm just playing through them next year. I don't care.
Well,
with less expectation.
So even within a round of golf, even on the same hole, you can have a fantastic shot, and then the next one, you know, you've shanked off the course or something. So this is the point, that's life. It's how business is as well. And it's not the end of the day. It's just another step in the process. So you probably have a golf coach like I do. I have a business coach like you do. We need coaching. Even coaches need coaching. So that's the other thing. Invest in yourself. And that's what I found early on. When I was considering my options, I thought I had a great reputation. I had my network in corporates, in financial services. You know, people knew who I was and my abilities and what I could do. I figured that I could be a consultant. That was the decision I finally came to. And when I, you know, hung out my shingle, I thought I had it made, I'd be absolutely fine. Well, that's when, you know, it was sort of like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Mm. It was a never-ending round of pitching to these businesses. And if I'd realised, of course, I used to be on the inside of that, receiving the pitch, knowing full well that perhaps there was a budget to do what you might be pitching for. Being pitched for, but knowing full well that it mightn't be around when it came time to implement, because corporations are always pulling away the money, even though they start out with their intentions as to what they want to do. Mm. So it became a very long slog fest to get the gigs. And when I got gigs, and I got some good gigs, I was working for the Commonwealth Bank and some other, you know, insurance big players, and putting in big programs. But I was a solopreneur, and that really shocked me that I hadn't thought that through. I didn't want staff. I'd managed my corporate career with nothing more than a PA and hired in teams to implement campaigns. What was I doing building a business that needed people in it? I didn't want to manage people. So a couple of things.
I just on that point, Kathleen, I am with you then. I've had so many people say to me, what do you want to build? And I tell them, but I said, I don't want to. I'm happy to have VAs or help people helping on different fields like that. But yeah. I don't want to build a business employee and at this stage. I just want to be more time and more successful.
Well, they sound counterintuitive, but in fact, they're not. And this is the realization. So it took me a while to come to this realization, implementing those big campaigns and then ending that and then having to go out and pitch for more. So this is what I realized, and what I found was I need to find a better way. And I was I don't think even at the time consciously looking for that, but I know that in my subconscious I was going, this isn't long-term good, because it's just not a stable way that I wanted to finish the rest of my working career. So I landed on a website, and I ended up just 2 weeks later, and I jumped on a plane and went to the States, and I did a program over there, which eventually I encouraged my mentor who was running it to create a certification program. And I was the first one back there to take a certification in that. And that was more than, I'm going to say 13 years now. Okay. So that was an eye-opener for me, because it helped me totally redesign my business, but it also helped me find what I do now. Because I realized, looking around, there were people like me, particularly, as I said, women in the age group that I was in, who had so much talent and yet were chucked over there as if they were on the scrap heap. And I thought, no, I'm not having it. And then I also realised too that women notoriously undercharge.
Mm. Oh, that's a very good point. It's something that with my mastermind groups that we've talked about and worked on ways for people to feel comfortable about charging. That's the first point, isn't it? It's that, what are they worth? Yeah. Feeling that they're not worth it.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's a historic inheritance for us. You know, women never had their own money. Let's face it, back in the day, my mum worked, but her mother never worked. And it wasn't my mum's money so much as a contribution to be able to, you know, help with the household finances. So women never had the relationship with money that guys have. And mind you, that's got its own set of baggage. I'm not saying they got it better than we do, but inheritance of those values and beliefs that are really deep-seated in our subconscious drive a lot of our decisions. So for women, we have that we are not worth being paid, and coming out of corporate when you had a salary. And I don't know about you, I remember when the very first time somebody paid me in my business rather than paid me as an employee. And I had an epiphany. I thought, I've got a license to make money. That was my immediately thought when I got that money that I charged somebody for directly and not as a salary. And that really changed my mindset, and it really helped me make that transition into self-value. And that was another thing. I had to overcome the fact that I was used to a certain income and I was paid as an expert. Mm-hmm. And I independently now in my own business had to charge. So I came to that realization. I had to be the expert and I had to charge for my expertise and I had to be comfortable doing that. So I had to get rid of that belief that I would not be able to replace my corporate generous salary with my office and my car parking space and my company car. Mm. off my own efforts.
That's an important factor, that belief that it can be replaced, because I know a lot of the women that I work with, their businesses are really hobby businesses. They're not making the money you as you were talking about, you know, that's it. And then what they're really should be entitled to, and it's just a shift in mindset, isn't it, of what to be prepared to accept what you're worth. And that's part of it. It's not just charging it, but it's that being open to
receiving.
Accept that. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's true. So this is where there's these two parts going on. The self-worth and setting proper charges and holding your hand out for the money, that's on the one side of it. But the reason women struggle often, and you talk about hobby, it's because they don't see the potential of their abilities to create a business that people would be prepared to pay them for. Mm-hmm. So that's the other side of it. There's the practical side. And that's the side that I really am an expert in as well, because I help women business owners structure their services so that they streamline what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And you talked before about, you know, having time for life. That's the thing. As women of my ilk, we were sold a pup about women having it all. And I say to young women now, yes, you can, but not at the same time. Mm. I'm sorry to be the bearer of that news, but if you want to be excelling in everything that you do, you need to choose how much of your time and energy and everything else that you bring to your areas and apportion it and allow that that's the amount you are able to deliver on those areas. I only have two children, but I must have done something right as a role model mum, because I've got 9 grandchildren. My son has 4 and my daughter's got 5. So areas in your life that are so important. Nobody's going to ask you, you know, how long you spend in the office when you get to the end of your life.
No.
And you don't want to account for that either. So do you think, you know, people say about work-life balance, and I don't think that exists. I think it's integration, and that's what I aim for.
Yeah, that's a good word. It's one of the topics I actually speak on, and when I speak at keynotes, is that work-life balance, and that the myth of the work-life balance is what I speak about. But it's exactly what you're talking about. Of course it can be balanced, but it's balanced at different times in your life. And you can't balance the time you would spend working when you're in your 20s as opposed to when you're a mum with kids, or it's a completely different type of balance. But the pressure that women put on themselves to be able to, and because of social media usually, but also from what's inherited around them, and that expectation of being able to do it all, then that creates that imbalance, that all the sense of not achieving balance, whereas it really is a myth, and what they are looking for is imbalance depending on the type of life. What was that?
It's imbalanced to start with.
Correct. Yeah.
It's not a feasible thing to aspire to even, but me went along with that. And, you know, I used to think in my corporate life I was a workaholic, but it was because I knew I was the last one out of the office, that I turned out the lights, all the blokes had gone home. For a long time, I was the only female in that management scenario, and very used to the fact that it was different for me. Most of the time, the guys went home and somebody had looked after everything in the back end.
Yeah, so. And that expectation, and that's another thing I speak to people about, is the imposter syndrome, and that expectation that you have to do more and be seen to be doing more than the blokes, because that you, they might find out that you aren't who you are. You know, that sense of
imposter. I don't actually think I used to feel that ever. I didn't feel like I was an imposter. So what I did feel, though, was that I had very high expectations of myself, and I didn't lower them in any area that I was, you know, across my life. So it was constantly doing, constantly thinking, what else, what else, what else? And instead of, in my maturity, I realized what was important, and then structurally looking at, which is why you say to me, you play more golf. I do play golf. I say to people, don't call me on a Thursday. I will be on the golf course and I'll call you from the 19th hole if it's really important. Don't call me.
I love it.
Yeah, you just need to have those boundaries, which is, once again, women struggle.
And that's it. And particularly, you know, women in their own business at whole, and that's where we started this conversation, is that sense of self-worth and, you know, stepping then into their own business out of that corporate space, then thinking that they have to work harder and longer. And what you've shown, or what you do with people, is to prove that you don't.
Yeah. And I consider that as a feminist and an ageist, that I can model that for other women. And I'm not saying that, you know, I've got the be all and end all business, and I'm not saying that everybody can. I'm saying that if this is the road that you're on, think about the model that you have now. Is it working for you across all areas? Is there areas that you could look at and improve? And one of the things in the business, and I talk about service-based businesses because it's not about manufacturing and products and the rest, and that's somebody else's expertise. But in services, it's a very simple model if you look at really starting with choosing a niche of people to serve. And often people don't. And then they don't necessarily look at the problem that the people within that niche actually have, or are, as they are experiencing it. So often they put a solution and try to put it on everybody as a, you know, to solve their problem, when they're mismatching their information in the marketplace. So people can't identify that they need to talk to them about what it is that they do, because they're broad. And they're talking, they're usually selling. And I think that's another thing. People misunderstand the position that sales has, marketing and sales.
Should be said that way. I mean, I'm in sales, you're in marketing. What we do crosses over on a whole lot of levels, but it should be marketing and sales. You marketing get them to sales. The door, and I teach people how to get them through.
Yeah.
That's the difference, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the difference. Sales is one part of marketing. But if you're not speaking to the right audience about solving their specific problem as they're experiencing it, you're falling on deaf ears, and you are casting the net so widely that nobody is listening. And this is the other part. There's never been a better opportunity for people, and women are in the forefront of this, to start their own business. But unless they get the foundations right, then the failure rate is, well, we won't even quote the stats there because it's horrific. So, you know, they say if you don't, if you fail to plan, is that the way around?
If you fail to plan, plan to fail. Yeah.
Planning to fail. And it doesn't have to be complicated. My marketing plans are like a one pager.
Yes.
That's not the never ending story that gets shoved in the drawer and never gets addressed.
Yes.
So, yeah. It's about that really cutting down, streamlining, being very specific about the solution, and designing your program or your services around the solution. That's it. You don't have to serve everybody, which is another thing. Women, oh, God love us. We don't want to leave everybody or anybody out, and we want to help everybody. And at the end of the day, it doesn't serve the individual business owner, and it certainly doesn't serve their end client, because they're not getting the specialist they deserve either.
No, what I often tell people, you know, we talk about going to the heart surgeon as opposed to the GP. Now, if you've got a problem with your heart, you are prepared to pay more for the person that's a specialist in that field, as opposed to just saying, hey, I'm having heart attacks, I'll go to the GP and see if he can fix that for me, as opposed to the cardiac surgeon. You know, that's, it's a different, but and that, and to be able to position yourself as that cardiac surgeon, then people will go, that's the person I need. And that's what you're saying, is having the right solution for the right problem.
And being able to strut your stuff. So you help people get out there and walk their talk and speak about their expertise. But if they don't understand it in the first place, if they don't have clarity around the results that they actually deliver, so that that's what they are selling once they've done their marketing. So that marries up very nicely to people saying yes. You know, the more people that they can encourage to have a discussion with them, that's all you're wanting to do, is in that marketplace, wave people down to talk to you, find out what you really do and how that could work for them. And you would know that's the sales process. It's a conversation at the end of the day for those of us who aren't salesy, to help people get what they want through what we love to do.
Yes, yes. And everyone's a salesperson.
Well, if they're not, they shouldn't be in business. Go get a job.
Correct. Look, you know, if I want my husband, no, he's my husband. I was going to say, if I want my husband to mow the lawn, I'll pitch it, but he's ridiculous. He'll get out there in the middle of the day and mow lawns. He loves mowing lawns. So that wasn't a very good example.
I told the dishwasher or the...
Or the, you know, the girlfriend that you just say, that dress looks amazing, you've got to buy that. That's a sales pitch. We do it all the time. We're all in sales. It's, you know, telling the kids, no, don't take drugs. That's a sales pitch as well. But part of it is all about your branding, I imagine, also, isn't it? You know, people getting to know what you're saying, but your brand is what you do.
I believe that. And people, once again, they don't necessarily understand brand, because for me, the brand encapsulates the areas that we've just covered to the degree that in combination, that's your brand. So it's not just the personality of yourself and the way that you do your business, although that's a big part of it. You know, the people will be attracted to you for the right reasons. They're going to be a good match. But it is about the niche that you serve, the problem they have, and your solution. And where they all overlap, that little sweet spot in the middle, that's really your target market. And your brand addresses the issues that that market has. And they form part of your brand. So when you move off brand, you see some people there suddenly doing this, that, and the other, and people don't, they begin to wonder what they do, because it's very confusing. And then who they do it for. So they're the marketing messages that get misinterpreted, or they get ignored, or they, whatever happens. So it's about getting all those ducks lined up and then sticking to the message. And that's how we build brand, and we build brand loyalty. And then we have those raving fans who tell other people, go talk to her. She knows what she's doing and she'll be able to help.
Yes. I often get tagged in on Facebook things because, you know, people go, oh, you've got to talk to Janine. Someone today on one of them said I needed some tips on cold calling. And then a few people tagged me in and said, yeah, you need to talk to Janine. So it was, you know, that's great to be able to do that. Absolutely. It's interesting. I go to a lot of networking events, and some of them have very structured sort of pitching formats, and others are a little bit more free form. And I always find it really interesting. One particular event, I'm thinking about one person, and she'll say, look, what I do is create these. I don't want to, just in case she's listening to this, but what I do is create these, which is part of a marketing thing, which is brilliant. And I also sell a product that helps keep things clean around the house. Oh, and I also write these books that you might like. Okay. What do you do? It's just that she turns up every month and says the same thing, that people might be starting now to go, well, I want that, but not that, or or that.
Yeah. And that's what a waste of her talents. Somewhere in that lineup, there would be the thing she really loves to do. And doing things, and I'm going to block everybody's ears when I say just for the money, because you need to do these things for the money. But you need to, when I say marry money with meaning, if you don't have meaning in your business and the difference that you're making for the people that you're serving, what do you get out of bed for? It really is not the motivation that you get when you love what you do. I can't wait to help. I say straighten people up and getting them flying right in the proper way in their marketing so that they can bring in all those wonderful people that they can make a difference for. So back to that lady with, you know, doing this, that and the other, she just hasn't found her way yet. And if that's the path that she continues on, she probably won't.
No, nowhere near the success I believe that she could have if she's
capable of. Yeah. Yes. And that's what drives me too, you know, waking people up to, is there a better way? Can I know the word pivoting, and let's face it, right now everybody is, but I pivoted right back there in addressing leaving the corporate as my market to female entrepreneurs. And in that pivot, everything changed. So it changed to this event that I no longer went into a big high-rise building thinking, oh, my God, I might get this gig, to really wanting to make it possible for people to just change up what they're doing and build that model that will see them through and bring them all the joy and all the money that they desire.
Yes, agree. And you're talking about structure, and I'm assuming that there's a system to it, or something that people can, you know, listening to this now can just take away and go and think about what they're doing.
True. And that was the thing I did learn. It's all about systems, and having a system in everything that you're doing in your marketing is, that's the freedom that comes from that. And before I just answer that directly, can I just say that people don't actually start thinking, firstly, how much money do I want to make, and how many clients it will take for that to happen. So they just have this great big, oh, I want to make money, or I want to have lots of clients. And that's not a goal. And there's no way to bring that back.
It's a wish.
It's a wish. And it'll remain a wish because it's not specific. So there's the clarity. So first of all, figure that out. So I help clients with, what's your bold money goal? What do you really want? And then they're amazed when they see how more easily they could attain that when they see about the structure, back to the system. So in the first instance, and mentioned in my intro about charging by the hour, when people say, and how much do you charge? They're expecting to hear an hourly rate. And that's just the way we've been conditioned. You go, accountants, solicitors, doctors, they all charge by the time. They're professional people. And even when we were employees and in corporate, the salary was pretty much based around the time you spent there. And that was what we were accustomed to, getting paid for our time. Why would that ever make sense? When if you got paid for your results, how much more productive? And productivity goes through the roof when you get paid for outcomes. So this is what clients want to buy. They want an outcome. So I start with people and say, okay, what is it that you can do standing on your head? A lot of people dismiss it, their own unique brilliance and what they're really clever at, because it's so easy for them. They think, isn't it easy for everybody? Well, no, it's not. And if you fix the problem that everybody has in your niche, that's all you need. So I help them unravel that and then work out, okay, so how could I pivot? How could I reinvent myself and create a process to take clients through for what they'd be willing to pay for? And then the argument about how much is that worth is entirely different. That people are very willing to part with their money to solve their problems. But if you're not positioned as the expert for them to do that, and you're lost in this, you know, also ran general service provider, you're never going to be that person who can charge what you're worth. And that's the other part. So working out from the inside out how fantastically valuable and, you know, worthy we are to be paid well, set yourself up to be asking people to buy from you. So that comes into, I call it a signature system. That's the step, simple, from taking someone from A to B, or A to Z, I should say, in a systemized step-by-step that they can see that you've got a proven system and you get lots of people over there from where they currently are, and that's where they want to go. So you've got your system worked out. The other thing is when you're delivering, people forget, they've got to turn up and deliver. Why make that a nightmare? Why having to create, like a consultant, like I used to do, once I found the problem of the potential client, I had to create a whole program for them where I might never use again for anybody else. So be done with that in your own business. Just create the same program, because that's going to work for everybody who has the same problem. It's really quite simple in that regard, but doing it is the process that I help people go through, and I make it really simple because that's my expertise. So once we work the system, it's nice if you can get a good, better, best option so people can invest with you at a level to suit their budget. And that's a pretty different way to approach. You're actually productizing the services, and people are no longer looking at will I, yes or no, but it's at what level will I invest?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, you can price it accordingly and get out there and sign up clients. And the other thing, Janine, about that is the more you do these things, the more expertise you get, the better you get, the more your pricing maintains and stays up. So there isn't any limit. You know, people limit thinking, oh, well, you know, so-and-so does this too and they only charge this much. Well, you don't have that argument in your, you know, sales.
I see that. I know there's, you know, I'm based in Brisbane, and there's some people that do a similar sort of thing to me when we talk about the professional speaker training, and they're charging sometimes a third of what people pay me to do that. And I'm so disappointed for them, because they're just really, it's so cheap, it looks like it's not going to be a value.
And well,
that's aren't going to get things out of it.
Don't realize who wants to be cheap? Because you get, at the end of the day, we know if you're tarring a road, the only way to have less is to have less tar. So if you really want the results, and you, the provider, want your clients to achieve those results, they need some skin in the game, as I say, and people who pay well. And we know when we put money into our own requirements, we want our money's worth. So the more we pay, the more likely we will get the outcomes that we have invested in. So that's the other conversation going on in the prospect's mind as well, is will I get what I want from this person? And if you've got the right structure, you've got proven processes, and you've got clients who shout your praises, job done.
Yes, yeah. I remember, you know, my husband is retired, and he's always amazed. He said, they paid you how much to do what? I'm good at what I do, by the way. You know, they get value out of it. That's fine.
And well, this is the thing too, depending, and my husband's recently retired too, and he's a chef. And so, of course, he's worked very hard with his body, and chefing, if you know, people aren't familiar, it's a very physical role, but it's also very stressful mentally too. So it's a very testing career. And I say to him, honey, I've used my brain and not my brawn. So that's why I'm not done yet. I'm not anywhere near retiring. I've got so much to offer people, and I know that they really need what I do. And I love it. And it's not hard. That's what I want for people. Create something that's not hard for you to do and be prepared to charge well for it, because you are getting results for people they could never get otherwise. And that is another thing. We want to make a difference. Women do. What most of the time in our business, it's about having our financial security, running our own show, whatever that motivation there is, but it's about making a difference, else we wouldn't do it.
Yes. And that to get feedback from people, that's one of the you'd be in the same boat. The feedback when you get from people who, you know, just have gone, oh, I can't believe I was able to had the confidence to do that, but you've been able to help me do that, or that they've had the income, or that first check that they get, or whatever it is. Anything else that we haven't covered just before we wrap up, Kathleen?
Well, I think we've pretty much run the gambit. I hope that what people have listened to is, if anything, at least sparked a thought about, is there a better way? Should perhaps they have a little exploration, and especially starting this new year, we're at the beginning of 2021. If this survives for the next decade on the internet, we're still around. But what we've got is the opportunity here in this current climate, particularly for women, is to figure out how to arrange business and life that serves all of our needs and makes it possible to be rewarded financially, as well as, you know, at that heart space. And I, as I say to people, if your heart's not in it, don't do it. And there's no point. There's no point. It'll just be hard. So I would encourage people to think, is what I'm doing bringing me joy? Is it bringing me a flexible position in my business to allow for the other areas of my business? And do I love it?
Yeah, do I love it? That's an important factor. And that's a really good point to for people to take away. I usually ask for 3 takeaway points, but I think that's a great one to think about is, do I love it? I know. I'm quite happy. You know, it's, we're recording this before most people have gone back to work in January, and I choose not to holiday through the busy holiday season. I don't need to. I don't have the children, you know, children home to need to do that. And so I've been working and creating and planning and planning and planning and doing lots of setup things and forecasting things for the last couple of weeks. Quite happy to put the hours in, but then I'll go jump in the pool, or we'll go to the beach, or we'll do something in between. But I don't have an issue putting the work in because I love what I do.
Yeah, and it's not work when you're in that position, and the overlap of that, and well, the ability to shut the office door when you choose. And like you, I've got a pool in my garden. I just jump in the pool.
Yeah.
I was visiting with the Kookaburra family out there this morning. We've had 3 young ones raised in our, well, it's pretty much my, I call it my back garden, because behind my garden is a river and across the river is National Park. So I'm in
this beautiful
area, and being able just to stroll out there and, you know, sit and ponder and work from your own space. That was my big thing when I left corporate, was I want to work from home. And I know a lot of people are struggling with that concept now, not being accustomed to it. But let me tell you, and you know, there's no better thing than if you get yourself structured than to be saving the time of commuting and everything else that's involved than to set it up in your own home space, workspace. And that's what allows us to, you know, pop from one to the other with such ease and and when it suits, that's
absolutely. Yeah. And it's good. How can people get in touch with you? And have you got an offer for people as well, Kathleen?
Look, this is, we've been working, as you say, on what next. And I've got a brand new training program, and it's a free training, and it's on webinar style. So a lot of the things I've discussed now, I've put into this package so people can start exploring the how to as much as the what, and some of the things that I've touched on here will get elaborated on. So can I give you a URL for that?
And I will add it to the show notes as well.
Yeah, so I've shortened it. It's a bit.ly/coachdrill.
Mm-hmm. So people, and what's the training titled?
How coaches and consultants can charge what they're worth and get it.
Excellent. That's a very good title. I think that would be of value to all of the coaches and consultants that are listening, and just anyone that's starting out in their business as well,
A lot of people are, you know, they're healers. So long as it's a service-based business, this will be extremely relevant. And other than that, even if it's not, when it comes to the mindset and the money, people might get some outtake about that as well. And even if you've got a job, You need to get paid what you're worth. So this, some of the things I've shared there might be helpful for that.
Yeah, that's a good point too. How can people find you, Kathleen?
My website, good place to start. So that's PUYM, stands for Power Up Your Marketing, .com.au.
Okay, and I'll have that in the course notes as well. So it is PUYM.
com.au.
Oh, that's easy. It's a nice short one. And all of your contact details, I'm assuming, are on the website as well.
Yeah, sure. People can get in contact with me there. And for anybody who wants a half an hour of, a conversation, really, one-on-one with me, they'll find some opportunity on there just under the services pull-down tag. And that will get, just to get clarity, just to decide whether there's some better approach to what you're doing.
Excellent. Look, thank you very much for your time today. I've found, there's a lot of things that we look at things similar ways, which is great. It certainly means that we're on the same page with it. But that whole important factor of doing what you love to do and getting paid well to do it is, vital for women to acknowledge that they how to charge what they're worth. It's been brilliant.
Yeah. It's all very well to know, the what and the why, but you've got to get into the how too.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Kathleen. And that's Kathleen Ann, and that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember, you can find all of my training programs at JeaneVosper.com. I would love for you to leave a 5-star review, because it's 5-star review for this podcast. And also, if you go to Google and if you want to make a comment there and leave a review there, that would be much appreciated. Look forward to you joining me on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Have a great week. Bye for now.
For now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.